Human trafficking is a growing problem worldwide, and Florida has been a hub for the activity with one of the highest rates in the country in recent years. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
On location at the Center Club in Tampa, I'm Carson Cooper. We've taken Florida Matters on the road this week in partnership with the Florida Medical Clinic Foundation of Caring, whose mission is to support individuals, children, and families in need. Let's say hello to our guests. She is the Director of Survivor Programming and Leadership for Sela Freedom, which does battle with sex trafficking and exploitation through advocacy, training, and restorative services. She is also a human trafficking survivor. Say hello to Connie Rose. Dr. Malik K. Trivedi is a double board certified physician with Florida Medical Clinic's Behavioral Health Division in Wesley Chapel, certified in adult, child, and adolescent psychiatry. Dr. Trivedi. And she is the former frontline prosecutor in Hillsborough County State Attorney's Office who has vowed to make Florida a zero-tolerance state for human trafficking, Florida Attorney General, the Honorable Pam Bondi. Let's start with Ms. Bondi. Welcome to Florida Matters. Now, just earlier this week, you convened the first meeting of the Statewide Council on Human Trafficking. And I want to talk about that in a moment. And most of all, I want to talk about what we're going to do to end this problem. But first, give us sort of the big picture of just what human trafficking is. Who's doing what to whom?
Well, and Carson, thank you for bringing awareness to this horrific crime. I can tell you 4 years ago when you talked about human trafficking, people would say, what is that? And it's thanks to all of you in this room, thanks to my fellow panelists, people who are bringing such awareness to this. When I learned that of the calls to the National Human Trafficking Hotline, Florida ranked third in the entire country, we had to do something, and we had to do it fast. And obsessed, I think is an understatement with how I feel about this issue, along with everyone in my office. And we've been fighting long and hard to make Florida and our country zero tolerance for human trafficking.
Okay, so the victim, the average victim of human trafficking, include anyone, children, men, women?
Absolutely, and of course this includes domestic servitude as well. But when we talk about the rape portion of it, people believe that the majority, and these are little girls, I mean, they're girls, the majority of them, so I'm just gonna say girls. There are little boys as well, but the majority are girls and teenagers. And so when we started this, people thought that, well, these are all undocumented immigrants, and let me tell you, they are just as much a victim. However, the majority of the victims of human trafficking in Florida are from within this country. They're kids who have been bumped from foster home to foster home. They're runaways. They're kids who, teens who have aged out of foster care and end up at strip clubs. And they're recruited and captured by monsters. Immediately, they're drug addicted and they're taken into captivity. This is modern day slavery. It's alive, it's real, and at least now people like all of you, our faith-based organizations, our great civic organizations like the Junior League of Tampa and throughout the state are bringing awareness to this, our physicians and our survivors. So it's real, and we knew we had to do something to stop it, so we started with legislation. That was the first thing. We needed much tougher laws regarding human trafficking in Florida.
Connie,
so that's how we started.
Connie Rose, you were a victim of human trafficking, and in your specific case, a family member was the criminal.
Yes, that's right. So I am a survivor of over 14 years of incest and about 4 years of being trafficked by a serial sex offender father, and he also happened to be my pimp. And I just want to go on to say that 32% of our sex trafficking victims are trafficked by someone that they know. It's a very small portion that are literally being taken out of their homes or being taken, you know, off the street. So pay attention, listen to everything that you're learning today, and go out and make a difference.
You know, that brings up a very good point. I think many people think it's a stranger who victimizes somebody, but in your case and in many cases, it's a family member?
Yes. I work for an organization that runs residential programs for women, and 3/4 of our women that are within our residential program mentorship program, it was someone that they knew that was their pimp.
Dr. Trivedi, as we're finding out, anyone can be a victim, but is there a particular risk to some victims, like at-risk teens? Is somebody more likely to become a victim than somebody else?
Certainly, Carson. I think we have to highlight the fact that the human mind, which each of us has in our brain, helps us make decisions in our lives. And this is a topic which touches that area very much. I think there are two parts to the puzzle here. There is a perpetrator and then there is a victim. And certainly each of that individual has a particular characteristic. So the perpetrator has psychological makeups of being that person who would commit heinous crimes, as well as the child or the adult who is a victim. I would like to focus more on the victim because I really want this program to reach those ears that do become victimized. And I want to highlight the fact that when you have certain conditions like anxiety or depression, you're more likely to be victimized. Certainly all that means at the level of the mind is that your mind tends to focus on the more negative side of things happening to you, and that you can be easily victimized by these individuals who have the characteristics of being a perpetrator.
Ms. Bondi.
Doctor, thank you for pointing that out, because no child is immune from becoming a victim of human trafficking. I think everybody thinks this could never happen to my child. And it can. And that's why we have a program called From Instant Message to Instant Nightmare. We have great technology now, but with that technology, we have children that sit in front of the internet all day long. And they think they're talking to another child, but they could be talking to a 16-year-old monster. And so what we've done is we're partnering with parents, we're going into schools, we're asking everyone, your business corporations, get involved. Your child has no right to privacy on the internet.
Ms. Bondi, kids sit in front of computers all over the country. How did Florida get to be such a hub for the activity?
Well, and we're not certain if it's just we brought more awareness to it. That's why the calls to the National Trafficking Hotline are so high in Florida, because we have brought a tremendous amount of awareness to it. But what we ask parents to do is take a pledge with their child and have an open dialogue with their child and say, if you meet a new friend on the internet who tells you they're 14, but you don't know them, come to me, come to mom, come to dad, talk to us about it. Let us check them out first before they become your friend.
Now, I wonder how many people listening or here in this audience right now might have actually witnessed a human trafficking situation and didn't really realize it. I sense that it's sort of a crime that's hidden in broad daylight. Ms. Bondi.
Thank you. That's a great question, Carson. It certainly is. And that's why the emergency room physicians came to us and said, help train us. Even law enforcement officers, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, they came up with a 2-hour online training as to what to look for. A child with an adult who dominates them, has control over them. The child's not going to make eye contact with you. The doctor's the expert on that by far. But yes, I'll let him answer that. But it's a unique set of circumstances, and that's why we're training. We're working so hard to train people on what to look for, because if it's suspicious, call it in. And on myfloridalegal.com, we have a page devoted to human trafficking and what to do if you suspect that. But the doctors are experts.
Yeah, Dr. Trivedi, Ms. Bondi has urged medical professionals to look out for the signs. What are those signs?
Absolutely. I want to highlight two important factors. One is at the level of the parent and the guardian and the teacher. To recognize factors that erode the moral fabric of what we call family values. You have a child who belongs to a family, there's a certain level of enthusiasm, certain engagement with family members that they carry in their spirit. So you want to make sure that that's always alive in the children that you come across. But also for the physicians who often encounter children and families, you want to recognize dynamics that are in progress. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is recognizing that certain tone that Pam mentioned that the adult has over the child that seems not just like a parental tone, but more authoritative or even abusive at times, where the child is prevented from exercising freedoms that they should naturally exercise for that age. And that's very important to recognize and to address with the parent and the child so that it is brought to light. And very often, the perpetrators will either shy away or have certain psychopathologies that the physicians are trained to pick up on. And that is what will highlight. And that's the child that you want to monitor over time and have frequent office visits to make sure that the abuse is not happening.
Now, when you see something that you might, as you said, pick up on, some sort of a sign, there are limits to what a doctor might discuss with a patient. Would a doctor be able to bring up the subject somehow, or is it just you have to sort of make a note and go from there?
You know, physicians, all physicians and healthcare providers are trained as mandated reporters in this state. So anytime that you suspect something that doesn't look right to you, all you have to do is alert the authorities that investigate these situations. So really it's an idea that you're not responsible for proving to a court of law that abuse is taking place or human trafficking is being questioned. You really have to alarm the authorities and the agency that whose job it is to investigate these and to take proper action.
And most victims, from what I've read, end up in the ER or in a clinic at some point, so doctors, in a way, could be the front line as far as detecting human trafficking. Ms. Bondi, you're shaking your head.
I'm smiling because I was so proud. The emergency room physicians of Florida came to me and said, we want to help, train us. So, doctor, I may call on you to help with that a little bit. But train us on the signs, on what to look for. And we had a case right here in Florida where, and this wasn't a family member. She was 19. I believe, I'm not certain about this, but I believe she was recruited out of a strip club because she was a runaway or had aged out of foster care, immediately addicted to drugs. She was beaten so badly beyond recognition that her captor had to take her to the ER. They came up with an elaborate lie, and she went right back into captivity. Because not only are they threatening her life, but they threaten the lives of the other girls who were in that home as well, who really, you know, she's bonded with. Mm-hmm. And if they have children, we found that out in Mexico, you know, they're threatening their children as well.
And Connie Rose, you work with victims. What are some of the other red flags that we should all look out for? Not all of us here are doctors. We're not in the clinics looking at patients, but all of us here, all of us listening, what do we look out for? What should raise our suspicions?
Look in your neighborhoods. You know, we still have a lot of homes that are in foreclosure. Right? And so you see things that are boarded up, curtains or, you know, windows are really dark, and all of a sudden you see a lot of traffic going in and out of this home that you clearly know no one is supposed to be living there. Make that phone call. Call the 888-3737-888 hotline or call 911 and tell them what you're seeing. That is huge. The other is we have to look beneath the surface. You know, we're all about just looking at what's topical, right? But how many of you have been at like a McDonald's or a Dunkin' Donuts, okay, and you're in line, right, drive through in a hurry, and there's a motel in front of you, you see a van, you see kids getting out, and you say, I have no time for this, but your gut says, wow, why are all these kids coming out of this van? Why are they going into a hotel room? I guarantee you they're going in there for sex. All you got to do is take 1 second of your time, call the hotline number, call 911, tell them where you are and what's going on. What about that kid? And it doesn't matter how wealthy you are. What about that child that comes home and says, Mom, you know, my best friend all of a sudden now has all these things. There's no way her family can afford it. And none of us are loaning her these things because our kids like to do that. Somebody better start investigating and finding out where's this child really getting these things. You know, in today's world, our kids like to date, you know, people that are a little bit older than us. But really, what is a 14-year-old doing dating a 28-year-old? Someone needs to pay attention and talk about that. But more importantly, Pam touched on the internet. One of my residents, she never had anyone physically touch her. Her total exploitation for 5 years was on the internet. She was on her computer monitor, all the Johns were on theirs. And if you saw some of the things she had to partake in, I'm telling you, you would not finish eating your lunch. So you have to pay attention. That gut, that pit in your stomach that says something wrong, go with it. Make a phone call, because if you're right, oh my God, how many people have you just saved? If you're wrong, oops, I'm sorry.
Ms. Bondi, Ms. Rose brings up a very good point. You know, we live in a society, and I think we're all guilty of this from time to time. You're out in public, you tend to just look straight ahead. You don't look at other people in the eye. You don't want to get involved. It's not that we're afraid to be tattletales, but what if you report somebody and you're wrong? Maybe there's that fear that you just don't want to call somebody out, and it could be a perfectly innocent situation.
Well, that's why trained law enforcement officers then get involved, and they know the right thing to do. But it's better to be cautious and save a child's life.
Now, I don't sense that students in schools would be victims. I mean, I just imagine victims of human trafficking would not be attending school. But are teachers involved somehow in this battle? Should teachers be aware of the problem and how to go about detecting it?
Well, certainly, and I'll let the doctor, again, we have a physician sitting here with us, but certainly, I mean, another victim, I've met victims all over, actually, I can say the world now from being in Mexico City, but victims all over the country who have told me that they would live a normal life, normal meaning that they would go home at night to a two-story house, yet they would crawl out their window and be trafficked in the middle of the night. So certainly, I think teachers need to look at signs of someone being withdrawn. You know, I'm not making eye contact, slowing down in school, changes in their demeanor and their attitude, and isolation, not being with their friends anymore. So we're really broadening what we're talking about. We're talking about a lot of a lot of issues here, but you know, right in Tampa Bay, we made a huge case, and these women were truly captive, living in middle upper class homes as captives. And that's where they were being trafficked, right out of the homes in a neighborhood with people driving down the street every day and not reporting it.
Dr. Trivedi?
Yeah, I want to highlight what was just said by Pam. And really, it's an issue that pervades all levels of society. And what happens in schools, and particularly with teachers, is that they have the golden opportunity to capture and get a snapshot of this child. They see the child every day. They're intimately familiar with their emotional state on a day-to-day basis. And when they recognize that change, or when they see certain signs that just says something's not right about this child, they really need to step up to the plate, whether it is that they talk to the vice principal or the principal or a guidance counselor to let them do their proper work and investigate the issue. I think that's very important.
Connie Gross.
I'd like to share a little bit about my story. Because I am that survivor. I am that victim. My 40th class reunion is this weekend for Jefferson High School. I'm very proud of that. But at the same time, I was a, you know, B and A student. I modeled. I was a dragonette. I was in pageants. Okay, I was that student that you looked at that went to church, Catholic and Greek Orthodox. No way could she be sexually abused for so many years, but more importantly, no way could she be leaving class, skipping school, and servicing John's in the parking lot, or servicing John's on Municipal Causeway. There was no way that I looked like that person, right? You would never, ever think that. But we've got to wake up. Because our kids are skipping school. Our kids are, if it's or after school, they're meeting someone after school before they go home. It's real easy. For me, when I got caught skipping school, the principal said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, you know, I really want to go to the University of Tampa and dance for them. So I just am practicing extra so that I can hopefully get a dance scholarship." And he bought it. I didn't get in trouble. So pay attention, please, because it goes so much farther than the scope that you can ever imagine.
This is Florida Matters. We're talking about the fight against human trafficking with Dr. Malik Trivedi, advocate and survivor Connie Rose, and Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi. The National Human Trafficking Hotline is 888-373-7888. Florida's Abuse Hotline is 800-96-ABUSE. Now, you can find those numbers on our website at WUSFnews.org. Click on the Florida Matters link. I'm Carson Cooper. This is Florida Matters. I'm Carson Cooper. This is Florida Matters. We're talking about the fight against human trafficking with Dr. Malik Trivedi, advocate and survivor Connie Rose, and Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi. We are on location at the Center Club in Tampa in partnership with the Florida Medical Clinic Foundation of Caring. Ms. Bondi, you've declared Florida a zero-tolerance state for human trafficking. What exactly does that mean?
Well, again, what we started in 2012, we worked with our great legislatures to start an anti-human trafficking legislation. We have tough new laws. My statewide prosecutors now have jurisdiction to go after these guys and women. There's some women who are trafficking just as much, who are monsters just as well. But we have increased penalties, and we now have the ability to do wiretaps. We're working hand in hand with the federal authorities, which I can tell you a lot of my counterparts around the country don't get how well we all work together in Florida. State, local, and federal law enforcement here, we work great together. And that's the only way. And to bring in our civic organizations, to bring in our churches, our faith-based groups, that's how we're going to stop this problem. And that's what we've been doing. And now this session we just formed, I know you can't see it on the radio, but this is our logo. And again, you can go on myfloridalegal.com, one word, myfloridalegal.com, and we have a toolkit on there as to the signs to what to look for.
And by the way, there's a link on our website at wsfnews.org on the Florida Matters link.
Thank you. But here's our council, and we just had our first meeting because we realize, and we want to make Florida the first of its kind in the country, because these victims, you know, let's say we get a victim away from her captor. He's put in jail with a case pending. One of my prosecutors right now is calling her victim four times a day to make sure, number one, she still has her as a witness, to make sure she's still alive, to make sure she's in a safe place. So that's what our council, one of the main things our council will be studying, is more than a safe house, but something that has all the resources. These victims need drug counseling, don't they, doctor? I mean, they immediately addict them to drugs. They need physical medical treatment. They need the mental health counseling. And many of them have had babies by the rapist, so we've got to do something with their babies. We have to educate them. We have to protect their children. We have to help find them a place to live. We have to help keep them also so they will be witnesses, so we can lock these monsters up as long as humanly possible.
Now, one legislative proposal that was defeated during this session was the idea of forcing victims involuntarily into safe houses, secure safe houses, for up to 10 months. Now, supporters said that's because victims, as you said, will often return, or not often, but will occasionally return to their abusers. Critics call that unconstitutional and said it would hinder their recovery. What, Ms. Bondi, is your take on this more aggressive approach?
I was not in favor of it. A victim is a victim is a victim. And we're not going to lock a victim up. Words such as secure detention, isolate them from general population, were being thrown around. And as long as I'm alive, those words aren't going to happen to a victim. Now, having said that, if a victim has major mental health issues, they can still fall under the Baker Act statute. So we can protect a victim from themselves.
Connie Rose is somebody who works with victims. What did you think when you heard about that proposal? Did you think it was a good idea, or did you think it was just some nutty legislative proposal, locking victims up involuntarily?
Well, being twofold, okay, one being a survivor, I was like irate. My fellow survivors that are in the room with me, we were just like, what? How can you do that? Because think, we've already been locked up. We've already been in captive. And you're telling us that you're going to do that, and that's so that we can heal? Really? Would you want to be locked up and then told that's a way that you're going to heal? Don't think so. But having safe houses, having residential programs, having places that they can go and be restored, because that's what it's all about. Because you know what? Just because it even only happens once, do you think that goes away? No. It's not going to leave me until the day I die. And we've got to look at that, and we've got to think about that. And how are we going to transition them out? And then those of you that are community leaders and business owners here, are you going to open up your doors to a survivor? I have 5 survivors that are looking for jobs in all ages. They can't get a job because what they're looked at, they have severe PTSD still.
Well, let's call on our businesses to help right now. Anyone who's listening.
You're looking at that they had a record. Does it really matter that they had a record because they were the ones that took the rap for their pimp? Or better yet, the Johns got away and the victim was the one that was arrested? So yes, please, open your doors.
There's a double-pronged approach here. We're talking about the victim, but also you got to go after the abusers. And is there enough being done about that? Ms. Bondi, where does the state fall short when it comes to that?
Well, we passed some very tough legislation in 2013, I believe. We passed, or the year before, we passed tough legislation to lock them up as long as humanly possible because they are monsters. The hardest part about these cases is getting your victim to cooperate. And that's why this council was formed as well, to protect the victims and also to get them in a place where they can testify against their captor.
Dr. Trivedi, take us into the mind of the victim there. What leads some people willingly back to their abusive situations?
I think I want to reflect on the question you just asked a few minutes ago about the involuntary commitment. You really have to recognize that although the victim is a single person that you're speaking of, there are two distinct states of mind. One is that mindset, or that set of ideas that they have in their mind about, just as Connie said, justifying and playing into the servitude. And the other is a healthier state of mind where they recognize that this is against the basic rights that I uphold as a human being. And it takes a certain amount of time for a person to go from one state of mind to the other. And so as much as the word involuntary sounds like it's restricting an individual's rights, it's really about helping that person change that mindset so that they can re-enter society in a healthier concept.
Ms. Bondi, let me ask you this. When do you expect to win the battle in Florida? How are you measuring success, and what is the next step?
Just like we did with the pill mills and the oxycodone abuse, one person at a time. If we save one life, that makes me happy. Hopefully we're going to save thousands. But you can't quantify that. All you can do is do everything you can and brainstorm and try to be as proactive and creative as you can. And that's why we created this council. And just with our first meeting, I have a million ideas spinning through my head of things that we want to accomplish, but it's one victim at a time.
All right, thank you so much. That is all the time we have. Thanks once again to our guests, Connie Rose, Director of Survivor Programming and Leadership for SELA Freedom and Human Trafficking Survivor, Dr. Malik Trivedi of Florida Medical Clinic's Behavioral Health Division in Wesley Chapel, and the Honorable Pam Bondi, Attorney General for the State of Florida. The conversation continues online. Join us on Facebook or send an email to floridamatters@wusfnews.org. If you have witnessed what you suspect to be a case of abuse or human trafficking, the National Human Trafficking Hotline is 888-373-7888. Florida's Abuse Hotline is 800-96-ABUSE. Those numbers are on our website, wusfnews.org. Click on the Florida Matters link. Our show is produced by Lottie Watts and engineered by Craig George and Dustin Happily, and is a production of WUSF Public Media. From the Center Club in Tampa, in partnership with the Florida Medical Clinic Foundation of Caring, I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.